A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony and Val McGinley with us for A Problem Shared. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Kerry.
Great stuff. Now, we're going to start with a query that came in late yesterday. We gave it a brief mention, or late last week, I should say. We gave it a brief mention so we'd return to it. And it comes in from a listener who says, my daughter is suffering from depression and anxiety. It is very bad. She's in her 40s, has had a number of miscarriages. She doesn't know whether to try again. She has no interest in anything. How can I help her? She's working and did work from home. I am so worried about her. Tony?
Well, all I can say, I'm very sorry to hear that. It sounds that she's suffering from bereavement and loss, and that, of course, is compounded by her age. She's worried about the midlife crisis and all that sort of stuff. The person is asking for ways of helping, and there are several ways you can help as a mother. Well, the first one would be, don't try to talk her out of her, don't try to rationalise, because that'll lead nowhere. But if you can encourage her to get interested in something. Now, there's a saying which you know, if we're suffering and we help others, it'll bring us out of the suffering. And if she could get involved helping other women who've had miscarriages or something like that, it would make a heck of a difference to her. The other thing is that I would definitely suggest that you suggest gently to her that she see a grief counsellor, because she's evidently going through grief and bereavement and midlife crisis and other things as well. But it would help a lot if she spoke it out several times over a period of time with somebody.
Yeah. What hops me out of it is that this parent is very worried about her, and I would suggest that the parent gets help herself. You know, to be quite honest with you, if somebody's in their 40s and has had several miscarriages, you can't say, nobody can say it's going to be all right the next time. So I would say, I would speak the truth to her, and I would say, I would say it has to be both the parents' decision, the daughter and her husband.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I would not allow it for the daughter to be making the decision on her own, because that's just horrific to contemplate,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, the partner, the husband, has to step up, and he has to make a decision and say, look, we're going to try again or we're not going to try again. And there's nobody can give advice or anything to this daughter or to this parent, really, because we don't know. And I think what Tony says about her helping others is probably the way to go forward, and I would say to this parent, do encourage her and say, I think the truth is nobody can guarantee to the daughter that this time, if she tries again, it'll work out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and having been there myself, having had several miscarriages myself, I wanted that assurance, but nobody, to be quite honest with you, nobody can give it to me or to her.
And there's two sides to this, Val, isn't there? There's one, the physical well-being of her daughter, but also the mental well-being. So both need to be minded.
What worries me is the sentence, she has no interest in anything. And if she was drawn into something, sport, art, or helping other people would be really, really good. Anything like that draws a person out of themselves. I know I kept mentally sane by doing a heck of a lot of gardening. I'm not a gardener at all. But during the pandemic, it helped a lot to be just busy and doing things. But helping other people, in her case, who've had miscarriages, helped them, by talking, just letting them talk and talk to them, would be a great help.
Yeah, and I think what Tony's saying there about doing the gardening, he's not doing as it were, creative gardening, but he's doing maintenance gardening, pruning bushes and stuff like that. And if I'm not a gardener, which Tony says he isn't, like, you don't have to.
You don't have to win a gold medal at Chelsea, the Chelsea Flower Show, is what you're saying. Just get out there and get doing something.
No, there's enough work. By gum, there's a load of work to be done, cutting grass, weeding, pruning and all the rest of it, and cutting down bushes and stuff like that. I remember when we moved into this house first, I thought nothing would ever grow here. Oh, listeners,
were you wrong?
Was I wrong or was I wrong?
Yeah, but to get back to this case, I think, you know, involved in any kind of anything that pulls her out of herself.
Yes, and that's just an example of one.
Particularly dealing with other people. If there's some sort of group for helping people, you know, who've had miscarriages and she could get involved, she'll get help and she'll be able to give help, and it would be a huge help for her.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to say about miscarriages. It's usually nothing that the person has done, because sometimes we're searching for a reason for the miscarriage. Like, why did it have to happen? Was it something I'd done? And I think the parent who contacted us needs to know that, you know, like, say that that's one way to encourage a daughter to say, look, it's nothing that you or your partner or your husband has done, and I'm very concerned about the parent here, and I would say get help yourself.
Yeah, very important. Well, look, there is a Miscarriage Association of Ireland. Their helpline number is 087-365-6887. That's 087-365-6887. Miscarriage.ie is the website to go to for more information there. You can contact them by email as well if you want, even if you want to find out how do you support your daughter or all of that. So there is support there. And that's a key thing, a key message. Try and get that sort of help before anything else happens and any other decisions are made. It'd be worth contacting in relation to that. Okay, my thanks to Tony.
You know, Jake, yes. Say something, having had four miscarriages myself.
Sure.
And it was four miscarriages that I had. I named the babies. We named the babies. And, like, I do believe, though other people may not believe this, and that's okay. I do believe that those babies are in the next life, and I asked them to help their mother. calling them. And I said, please help me. I'm in dire straits here. And listeners, do I get in dire straits? Oh, yes.
Yeah, very important process to do that sort of a thing and to remember them. Okay, if you've something you want to say to Tony and Val on a problem shared, get in touch with us on the show. We've more queries to get to with them after we take the...
A problem shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony and Val McGinley with us. We have a query in here from a listener who says, my wife's father died last year and she was the main carer out of her male siblings. Now her mom isn't well, and again, my wife is left to do the majority of the caring. My question is, why is it always left up to the women in the family to care for elderly parents, and how do I support her, bearing in mind we have our own busy lives? What
very
do you think,
interesting,
Val?
Very interesting indeed. And I would say to this guy who's written in, like, see, ask your wife how you can support her and listen to her. And I'm thinking of the previous situation. Men and women sometimes react differently to miscarriages. And if the mother, like the daughter, wants to talk about the babies and name them, etc., let her. And at the same time, respect that the father might not want to talk about them. Now, that's easier said than done, listeners. Like, you know, I mean, it is easier said than done. But find someone, even as Tony said, if it's a grief counsellor, find somebody, a group, and that I can talk about them. If I need to.
Yeah. Tony?
Yeah. That's a very difficult situation. I mean, basically, when you get situations like that, who cares for who?
Yeah. Some of it, Tony, is down to the cultural, historical cultural way in which women were seen as carers. Society is changing now. other maybe, you know, or is this maybe falling into that trap of generalization that women are just better at it, or is it just men aren't putting in the effort?
It comes from an agricultural society, which Ireland is very agricultural, and the males generally worked
the farm,
and the females did the other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. But basically, there is no difference other than somebody has to earn the bread, and that often defines, it's easier maybe, or still is probably easier for a male to earn a decent living. And it's down to a family talking things out. The family need to get together, put their heads together, the whole family, and so, like, what are we going to do here?
Yeah, I'm very impressed at that husband writing in. Bless you, sir. Bless you. And if you really mean what you're saying, say to your wife, I really want to help. Maybe it's not appropriate for me to. Is it the father or the mother helping?
The mother she's helping. Did help the father before the father passed away, but now it's the mother who's unwell and she's again expected to do the caring.
Well, it might not be appropriate for a man, say, to intimately wash the mother.
Mm.
There might be other things you can do. There are other things you can do. Shopping, you know, like, and go. I would go to the mother and say, look, there are certain things I can do and be definite about them. I can do shopping. I can do gardening. I can cut your grass. I can mind your pet. You know, like, but
before making those commitments, I would say think them through, because so many of those type of commitments fall through.
Yes.
People, you know, say, oh yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that, and the other, a few weeks later, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
does that go back to that
meeting then, Val, that family meeting to say, look, well, you know, let's set things out here and let's all help in whatever way we're able to or can help.
Exactly. And maybe the woman is not capable of calling a family meeting. So then maybe one of the ways in which the husband can help is by saying, I undertake to call the family meeting. And maybe that husband needs to speak up more and say, look, it used to be the prerogative of the female. Now we have to arise to it. What are we all going to do to help?
And if there's nobody then can come up to take care, then they all have to cash in and put money towards care.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, the financial side of it as well. Okay, all right, we have another query here I want to get to. It says, I've no problem with the general principle of being punctual. However, I'm a bit lacking in that area myself, and my daughter ticks me off whenever I'm late. I wonder if and how I might get to address and redress my lack of punctuality.
I'd say focus on how you project yourself to other people, because I'll ask you a question. How does it affect you when you have to wait and wait and wait for someone to deal with you? Do you find it annoying, insulting, in fact infuriating? And if you do, then try and apply some of that to yourself. And it then goes back to planning your time. If you have to get from A to B, how long does it take?
But sure, Tony, this person, I'm assuming this listener is Irish. We just don't do that here. We never plan our time.
Don't do what here, Jerry?
Turn up on time for anything. There's time, punctual, and there's Irish time.
That to me is anathema. Absolutely. It's coarse.
It's not as bad as it used to be, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a bit better. I'll agree. It is getting a bit better, in fairness.
Yeah, it has got hugely better over the last 50 years. And Irish people now are quite good at keeping time. But, you know, there are, for various reasons, we can slip into habits. And this is a habit this person has.
Yeah, and I would say, like, if I think I'm going to say, I'll be there I'll see you at 3 o'clock, say 3:30 or 4 o'clock and give myself the time. I remember working with somebody who was always late for work. And I kind of broke it down. I endeavoured to break it down for her.
Yeah.
And she said, I read the newspaper and I have a leisurely breakfast. And I said, well, how long does it take you to get to work, allowing for traffic, which is increasing, etc.?
Yeah.
And she said, maybe a half an hour. And I said, okay. I said, you know that you have to leave at 8:30 at the latest. I said, set an alarm and do all the necessary things first. And then if you have time, read the newspaper and have a leisurely breakfast. But the minute the alarm goes off, grab your keys and head out the door.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way you need to approach it and assess it and move it from that point of view, because otherwise you're going to be late.
Keep in mind what being late does. If you have a friend and you make an appointment for a coffee and you're 20 minutes late, you apologise. If you do it a second time, you apologise passionately. If you do it a third time, forget about the friendship as well.
Well, see, people have their reasons. I'm guilty of this myself. People go to it and they're never actually late. Well, I wouldn't have been late, but this happened and that happened and the other happened. So, you know, it was just calamity. It wasn't really my fault. Well, no, but we get into the way. I'm not saying it's right, but we get into way of that way of thinking and say, well, I wonder what this happened, and sure, for God's sake, then that happened, and sure, what could I do? That tends to be the, and I do it myself sometimes. I hold my hand up. That's
yeah, but
happens.
You don't do it 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times in a row, do
that's,
you?
And that's
with the
thing.
Same person.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, the daughter has expressed to this person that they're ticked off.
Yes, yeah.
I'd be listening to that and I'd be thinking, and maybe they could ask the daughter, well, you know, you could help me by ringing me, like, if we're going to meet at 3 o'clock, if you ring me at 2:30 and say, you know, Mom, we did arrange to meet at 3 o'clock, please be there.
Yeah, yeah,
and
good
if
idea.
You're not, don't make any further appointments.
Very good. Yes. Okay, guys, listen, we're out of time. Yeah. We're going to have to be punctual for the news. And we're going to have to wrap it up for this week. But thanks a million for that. That's Problem Shared with Tony and Val McGinney.